Ah, the heavens declare the glory of God. I don't think I have to convince you of that this morning, but I think I'd like to try and reinforce that among us, that the heavens declare the glory of God. This past, or a couple weeks ago when we were in Costa Rica, I was reminded of this over and over and over again. So I want to share a few pictures from there that show about the beauty of God's creation in Costa Rica. I'll wait and save the sweaty, hot, hardworking, grueling pictures later, okay? But for now, just stay with me on this idea that the heavens declare the glory of God. And as we think about the heavens declaring the glory of God, right now, I just want us to spend some moments just being in awe of God's creation. This is kind of like taking the application of the sermon and putting it at the beginning, okay, and then working through. So just hang in there with me through a few pictures and ooh and ah wherever you want. But when we landed in Costa Rica, we kind of came in and you see the mountains just jutting up on one side, and you look out the other window, and on the other side, mountains on that side. You look kind of in front of you, mountains, and you're like, where did we land? Just in the middle of mountains, and it was absolutely gorgeous. In the next picture, you see that everything seems to be green. And I guess that's the case when you get 14 feet of rain per year, okay? Things turn to be green, as we learned, verde. Okay, there's your Spanish lesson for the day. But and as you see the massive landscape, it just is kind of breathtaking. And then, but there are some pictures that show a little bit more of the detail. This was on one of the days we went and we saw a volcano that is active, and we did go there on a Sunday. But I want you to know there were no sacrifices offered on that day. Okay, all of the team members that went and climbed up there, came back, okay? Not on our watch, okay? But when you hike just a little bit further around the corner is another picture of, this is kind of a lagoon. That's an inactive volcano, one that once was, and it was just absolutely gorgeous. But a few other pictures display not just the grandeur of God's beauty, but some of the detail of God's beauty. I mean, look at this one. For me, this tree was just fascinating, just the symmetry and just even how the small needles come together, and it just seemed crisp, and it just seemed delicate and yet strong. Here's a picture of a flower, and you just think, wow, isn't that awesome? You know, and how it opens, and it would close at different portions of the day, and how intricate and small and detailed each picture, each piece of that flower is. And then just all of the wonderful colors God has in all of his creation, right? And flowers I had never seen before, like this one, in the bright yellow and the contrasting with that fuchsia, it leapt off the tree of background of green. And then we were walking through a farmer's market at one point, and we found these mamon injertado, and I'm sure I just butchered that, and I apologize. I mean no disrespect, but it is a fuzzy fruit, okay? And this is what it looks like. And if you bite into that outside and peel it back, inside you see this kind of pearl, and if you actually have the courage to eat it, It then tastes like grape, and is wonderful. And inside that is a seed, so beware of the seed. Anyway, is wonderful, wonderful fruit. And I thought, I've never seen this. And what person had the courage to eat that the first time? But it was awesome. And then some other things that were of amazing beauty, the butterflies, and just the bright, bright blue. And then a dart frog, okay? We got to walk in this kind of almost natural habitat of the dart frogs. And dart frogs come in this like blaze orange and electric green and like highlighter yellow, you know, and awesome red. And it is just awesome. But as you walk through there, they're called dart frogs because the poison was taken off of their back and put on darts and becomes deadly. So as we're walking through, they tell us, you can look, but don't lick the dart frog. I got to tell you, I'm so glad they said that because it was this close, you know. We can walk through, but we can't lick. I decided, I'm going to get my money back. Anyway, then just some hummingbirds. And how gorgeous is that? Leopard and the spots. And, I was glad for that glass in between me and the leopard, the powerful animal. Then a very funny animal of the moni, the monkey of the, why am I forgetting the name right now? Capuchin. That's right, the capuchin. He's a very fun little guy. And then these parrots, and you're just like, no, they really are that vibrant. They really are all those colors. And then the toucan, wonderful, wonderful. And I just think, God, you are so amazing. You took all of those colors and you just put them on the beak. I'm just thinking, what was heaven like on that day? All right, this one's going to be cool. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Okay, this bird is going to have like this and like, and just think, man, God, you are so amazing. And then to see some of the other things, ants. Yes, they have ants in Costa Rica, just like they have ants here in the Midlothian area. And we found ourselves at a few times on our way to the work site, just looking at these ants, just everybody bent over. It was like everything else stopped, and we're watching these ants, and they're carrying these massive loads. And you think, how do those tiny little itty-bitty legs carry all of that stuff, And there's a whole sermon another time on this, but that was great. And then sunsets. I mean, you don't have to go around the globe to see God's glory, do you? I mean, just right around here, the heavens declare the glory of God. I don't think I need to convince you of that this morning. I think it's just a reinforcement that the heavens declare the glory of God. And the revelation of God, of who God is in nature, is nothing new, but it's available for every single person on this globe. It's available for those who are poor. It's available for those who have great wealth. It's available for those who have no education. It's available for those who have numerous degrees. It's available for those who have a whole list of successes and those who have nothing next to their name. It's available for those who feel on the in and those who feel on the out. God's revelation is available to all. In this psalm, Psalm 19, we see that God's revelation is clearly revealed through nature. In verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies do what? Proclaim. They don't whisper. They proclaim the work of his hands. And day after day, they pour forth what? Speech. And night after night, they reveal what? Knowledge. Because God reveals who God is through nature. In nature, we learn about God's power. And we learn about our finiteness, about God's expanseness and our, well, not so expanseness. In nature, the beauty is all around us. The question is, are we going to notice it or not? Day by day, the heavens are declaring. Night by night, the heavens are declaring. Whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, the beauty is all around us. Whether we actually ever discover the beauty in some of the places of the earth or not, it is there. And it is proclaiming and it is shouting out glory to God. Sometimes it comes through, ants seeing the glory of God in the small things. Sometimes it's through a landscape. Sometimes it's through the beak of a toucan, right? The heavens declare the glory of God. Recognizing it helps put us in the right position, that we are the created and God is the creator. Sometimes we get that backwards, don't we? It's not intentional. It's not that many of us walk around and we say, I'm the creator. Today I declare, I decree, and when I speak, it comes into existence, right? That's not us. But many times we go about our lives as if we are the creator. And in that speed of life, we need those speed bumps just to kind of pause, to reflect upon nature, to gaze, to just examine the petal of a flower and realize, how marvelous is that? I didn't create it, nor did I cause it to open, nor am I sustaining it. There is some other power, there is some other source, and it is God who's enabling this to happen. Oh, wow. How marvelous. I adore you. And through that, we recognize our place, our rightful place, that God is the creator and we are the created. It's not to make you feel small. It's not to humble you. It's simply to help us be in the right place. Some of you all know that today is the last game of the World Cup, okay? That's very exciting and depressing at the same time for some of you, that this great adventure is coming to an end. World Cup is soccer, by the way. We are Americans, okay? We're not wrapped up in this thing as much as the rest of the world. But today, when Argentina plays Germany, right, for bragging rights, I want you to pay attention to what happens on the field if you happen to turn on the game for a minute or the whole 90-plus minutes, okay? But in this, I want you to recognize some positions. In soccer, there are two halves of a field, and the big line in the middle kind of helps you know the middle of the field, and that's called midfield. But when they line up at the beginning, there's these front guys, and they're the forwards, okay? Then you've got the midfielders that are midway in their field, right? And then you've got the defensive players towards the back ends, and then you've got the goalie. He's the final line of defense, right? And I want you to watch what happens if one of those guys gets out of place. One of those guys is out of position, then the other team pretty quickly recognizes it, and they start an assault at that position because they've identified a weakness in the area, and they're going to send the next offensive in order to score that goal. And in our lives, that's exactly what the evil one is doing. Recognizing when we are out of place, when we are not correctly aligned, when we are not realizing that God is the creator and we are the created, and we've somehow got our roles mixed up, then we're out of place. And the offensive comes on against us. And we may not realize it, and before it's all over, the points are adding up on the other side. Nature is one of the great ways God has revealed himself to us. We recognize God's greatness and our finiteness. Well, another way in Psalm 19 teaches us that God reveals himself is through Scripture. In verse 7 and 8, I want you to pay attention to a few words of what happens when a person attends to Scripture. When a person spends time with God and Scripture, what happens? Verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. And what does it do? Refreshing the soul. Ah, anybody long for their soul to be refreshed? Spending time in God's word where God can reveal himself to us is one of those ways God does it. The statutes of the Lord are what? Trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are what? And so what do? They are giving joy to the heart. Anybody need a little bit of joy today? Attend to God's word. Spend time in God's word and joy comes. The commands of the Lord are what? Radiant. Giving what? Light to the eyes. Light to the eyes. Man, I love the idea of spending time with God in Scripture and learning about God's holiness. There's also a thing that when we recognize God's holiness in Scripture, we recognize our fallenness or our sinfulness. But that's not the only thing that happens when we spend time with God in Scripture, but we receive that joy, and sometimes we receive admonition, right? But there are times when we receive amazing blessing, and also times when we read something, we go, ah, now I know what to do. Now I know which way to go. And God gives us direction as we spend time in His Word. We can delight in this because we discover who God is and how we're to take our place in creation. And as we read through, we realize some unexpected things. We have an awesome honor. We have an awesome responsibility. And we have this awesome ability to commune with God. See, in relation to all of creation, we are in a certain place to have dominion and to have rule over creation. When God went through creation story and all these things around us were created, everything that we see, and he gets to this point and he creates humanity, he didn't say that's good. He just said, that is very good. That is the pinnacle of my creation. And we are to stand in dominance over it. And we're to help take care of it. That's our responsibility. But then we also have another opportunity that is not the same with the rest of creation, and that is to be able to commune with God in a very, very different way than the rest of creation. And it is an awesome opportunity. And as we spend time in Scripture, all of this comes to light. And there are times when I say, I don't have time to spend time in God's Word. Maybe you've heard yourself say that. And as soon as you say that, you think, oh, that was dumb, you know. Friends, we don't have time not to spend in God's Word. I love how Rita put it in her message a couple weeks ago when she was talking about solitude. How do you know when it's time to spend time with God alone in solitude? When life feels like it's gridlock. Have you ever had that experience? You just feel like, you know what? The traffic is here, 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 and here. And life is, it's gridlock. There's no movement. Everything is focused. It's tight. How do you know when it's time to have a few moments of solitude? And you think, that's the very time I don't have time for solitude, when life is going at the speed of life, right? But that's the very time we need to spend time in solitude. And that's the very time we need to spend time within God's Word. And God will reveal himself to us through his Word. But he also reveals himself through daily experiences. In Psalm 19, some of the last verses say in verse 12, but who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from what? Willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. In reading and experiencing life, we realize and recognize that God has extended gracious forgiveness. I don't have to go far in my day, maybe 8 o'clock, you know, depends what time I've woken up, before I know I stand in need of God's grace and God's forgiveness. And I need to be one who is not only once saved, but continually saved day and day after day and moment after moment after moment, continually turning myself over to God. Experiences teach us this, and we learn not only about our forgiveness and our salvation, but we learn about purpose and meaning for life. And so I was trying to think of some dumb, crazy, senseless rhyming phrase that you all would just, you know, groan at, you know, in order to walk away with. So, and all I could come up with was this: take time to gaze. It'll set your heart ablaze, and it will help you through the maze of life. Okay? Come on the count of three, just go ahead and groan. Okay, all right. Isn't that awful? Right? I mean, so it's nothing new. This is not a surprise. This is not like the, oh, wow, that's a deep principle that we learned in worship today, you know? It's like, no, take time to gaze. And when you take time to gaze at nature and Scripture and step back from your daily experience, instead of just going through it to get it done, step back and reflect on it for a moment and look at it, right, and gaze upon it, then God's going to change our perspective and he's going to set our hearts ablaze and it's going to help us through this amazing maze of life. So the question is, are holy pauses really all that important? Are these ideas in this series that we're going through about the source? What is our source? Who is our source? Who do we turn to for our source? And we've talked about Sabbath. We've talked about silence. We've talked about solitude. We're talking about these pauses in daily life. Are they really all that important? So here's where we have our audience participation. I ask the question, you have a response, okay? So are they all that important, yes or no? Yes, see, you all are far more convinced than the early service, you know. I think the caffeine hadn't hit in yet. But yes, it's critical. It's essential. It is vital to life to pause in life. Otherwise, we get stuck in our world, absolutely stuck, and we will miss the revelation of God. We will miss being able to see God. We will miss being able to see the world. We will miss being able to see others as God intends for us to see the world, Himself, and others. We will run blindly through this life and not live it to the fullest if we do not pause. There's such a danger of ending up at the end of our journey and saying, wow, I looked through the world with my lens. How much better if we were to end up at the end of the journey and say, there were times when I was really able to see things through God's lens. Because what happens if we don't? Many of us know and have experienced life without refreshment. That life that is stale. That life that is stagnant. Many of us have experienced that life that becomes polluted. Or living life without the joy that He offers through the revelation of nature and scripture and daily experiences. And without joy, there becomes, you know, many of us become fussy and grumpy. And nobody wants to be around you. Even you don't like to be around you. And you know those times. But if we'll attend to God through nature and through His Word and through stepping back from our daily experiences, He promises to bring refreshment and joy and also light. See, without light, there is what? Darkness. Where there is darkness, there becomes compromise. With compromise, sometimes it's subtle. And sometimes we didn't even know it had woven into our lives. And then as the psalmist says, God, keep me away from the willful sin. The stuff that I know I'm going to do, right? But what about the other piece that comes easily into our lives? And God says, if you will attend to me as I reveal myself through nature and through scripture and through your daily experience, I'm going to bring light. And in the presence of light, darkness must flee. So, Psalm 19, it begins. Love how, if you just watch, read through it again at home. It begins with this lofty praise of God. And it ends with this very earthy, earthy prayer. Asking God to align the person's heart and to align his will. Because we're wired. We're wired to step in and out of work and rest. Work and rest, right? It's not that work is good and rest is bad or that rest is good and work is bad. It's both. God says, I've designed you in a way that all work and no play makes, oh yeah, it's true, you know? But all play and no work and then there's no responsibility. It's work and rest. And we have to be in this dance with God and rhythm of all of creation because when we do, doesn't it seem like God just opens us up? We're able to breathe. Instead of walking through life like this and all cramped and all frustrated and all fussy and grumpy, okay? And just on your own little thing. When we attend to God through nature and through scripture and through our experiences, we open up, we can breathe. And then there's some kind of perspective and God rekindles within us a love for Him and others. And we start to relish in this idea that we might become, only by God's help, a people that's full of gratitude, full of appreciation, and because we have a new perspective. And as we do, we discover that God is powerful. Oh, God is powerful. God is so creative. All those things God is creating. God is relentlessly good. And he's always making the right judgment. And you know what? He's absolutely faithful. Ultimately caring. And forever stable. Jesus said, the loose Mike Maxwell translation, "Now you guys worry about a whole bunch of stuff." Matthew 6, you know, you read the whole thing, but you guys worry about so much stuff. Just look at the birds. Doesn't God provide for them? Yeah. Man, look at the lilies. Be a lily looker, okay? Doesn't God clothe them with majesty? Why are you so worried? Don't worry about tomorrow. It's going to have, today has enough worries of its own, right? The heavens declare the glory of God. It is so true. So here's your application. If you want to know, what are we going to do with this message today? As I walk out of this door, there's got to be something that I can do. I just want you to go stare at stuff, okay? Just go into your backyard, go to this green area right here, stare at what's in front of your house. Some of you all have like beautiful things all around your home. How many times do we walk past them in the speed of life and we overlook them, right? Just go and stare at stuff. Stare until somebody walks up to you and say, "What you doing?" You know? And then you can come out with something like, you know, awesome and say, "Staring at stuff." You know? Because that's better than saying, "I'm remembering to keep the Sabbath and make sure it is holy." Right? Because then they might look at you funny. But that's what you're doing. You are remembering the Sabbath. You are remembering the one who created you. You are getting in a right relationship. You are reorienting your position and your place in life by simply staring at stuff. So as you go out today, it's not a God who wants to burden you with some law. Remember a Sabbath. Well, he said it because he knew we would forget. He's not trying to say you oughta, you better, you must. He's trying to remind us of things as they really are. So go sing a song. Wake up early and see if you can get up earlier than the crickets and the birds. And just listen as creation wakes up. And see if it doesn't sing a song to God. Just stand out in the rain. Let it hit you. Go and look at a flower. Look at all the little pieces, parts. Stare at a bug. You know, as we were staring at those ants and just looking at them, all I kept thinking is, I'm that ant. God's looking over me and delighting over me in my work, in my rest. Just as I'm looking over this ant. I think if we will attend to those things, if we will recognize God's revelation through nature, if we will recognize God's revelation through Scripture, if we will recognize God's revelation through daily experiences, he's going to work within us this heart. That then may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be holy and pleasing to you, O God. For you are our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Let us pray. God, we marvel at who you are. There's not a place we can't look that we are not just amazed by who you are. Your expansiveness, your power, your creativity, your caring, your provision, your protection. God, you are amazing. Help us to take time to pause And in that time of pause, realize that we are in a holy moment. We praise you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.